Good morning. This gets easier a little bit each time. I was good until Thursday, and my mom ruined it. She's sweet, and I love her. But I called her Thursday morning, and we got done with our conversation. She said, "How did you tell your sister that you were preaching Sunday?" I said, "No, uh-uh." At that point, all I knew was Mom and Danny were coming, and I was good. And she was like, "Well," and that "well" meant that she was in trouble because she had already told my brother and he was coming. So then I was like, "Man." And then I got over that, but my sister couldn't come. So, and then Friday, I walk in the office, and I won't say names, but Coy Porter was like, "Hey, man, I'm going to be at church Sunday to hear you speak." So then it happened again. I was like, "Man." So I'm used to talking to y'all at this point, but add a little bit to it. But I'm good. I'm good. And I'm glad I can be here. Hey, thank y'all. We hadn't said anything yet, but thank y'all for bringing food after the baby. It was great. If anybody wants great food, I mean, have a baby. Don't if you're not ready, but between homemade chicken Alfredo and Dawana's roast and everything in between, I thought I was going to do better after Christmas and Thanksgiving, and January was awful because of all the food y'all brought, but thank y'all. We appreciate it. And that ties into to part of the sermon today because we're going to talk about Pauline Baptist Church. And what I see going on, so this isn't going to be what I've normally done. And there's some opinions in here. They're my opinions, but I think they are good opinions. And I think mostly everybody will agree with me. I hope so. So let's get started. Let's pray, and then we'll get into it. Dear Lord, I just thank you for this day. I thank you for all its many blessings. I thank you for the opportunity to come and preach your word. Just ask that you be with Dallas and Lynn, Glenn and Melissa, keep them safe and bring them back to us. Just ask that you be with all those that are struggling with whatever it may be. Just ask that you'll clear my mind, calm my nerves, and I pray that everybody clears their minds and their hearts to receive it as you want to. We love you and we thank you. Amen. So about 5 or 6 months ago, God laid something on my heart to speak. I didn't know when I was going to speak again, but I knew what it was, and I've been holding on to it till today. Something else cool, the first time I preached was February 24th of last year. Today is February 23rd, so I've got three in. I told Dallas, I was like, "Bro, like 6 months, or like every 6 months, like this is like doing it for the first time every time. So I need some Sunday nights or something so that we can get over these nerves a little better." But it's kind of cool. Same weekend that I did the first one last year, so I just thought that was neat. But like I said, I want to do something a little different. This is not going to be a 3-point sermon. There's not going to be a ton of verse by verse, but we're gonna look at what Pauline Baptist Church is, our history, a little bit of deeper history that explains where our namesake comes from, and then I wanna talk about a little bit of what I see going on and brag on what God's doing in our church. So, brief history of the church, and I got it off the thing in the hall, and I came in and it fell down this morning. I was like, "I hope that's not a sign," but it was on the floor. I was like, "Oh," but and our church started in September 19th, 1899. The first organizational meeting was held. Our church was formed because we were part of Philadelphia over on Troopville. Well, when it rained, people couldn't get to church down the dirt roads because their wagons wouldn't get down the dirt roads. So a group of families that lived closer to this area than where Philadelphia is, they organized this church so that they could get to church. So that's how we began originally. In 1904, the original sanctuary was built, which is the fellowship hall now. If you want to see something cool, climb in the attic, and you can see the original exterior walls of the church. Or you can open one of the closet doors where the brooms are kept, and the walls are in there too. It's pretty neat. 1905, this is really cool. We donated money to help start Morrison Baptist Church, so which is on 333 on the Moultrie Highway. So we're already in a mindset of giving, and we were only 6 years old. In the 1950s, attendance at times dipped into the single digits. So perseverance, we're still here today, and that's pretty amazing. 1980s, we built an extension onto the sanctuary, now the fellowship hall, to accommodate for growing attendance. In the 1990s, the Sunday school building was constructed, and at that time, at some point in the 90s, I don't know when, Sunday school attendance, not where we're sitting now, was over 100. That's a goal to get back to. And I think I hadn't, Miss Elaine might, can correct me, but I haven't looked at numbers for Sunday school, but just with my eyeballs, I see more people in Sunday school now than I think I have in quite some time. And that's a good thing. Let's shoot for the hundreds. It'd be nice. 1999 was our 100-year anniversary. Hey, let me put something into perspective. 1899, some of the people that built this church very well could have fought in the Civil War. Surely been alive during the Civil War. That kind of puts things into perspective of who built our church, the generation that built our church, which is pretty neat for me because I like history. In 2000, this building was constructed, the sanctuary where you sit right now. So this is the history of our church that comes to mind when we speak of Pauline Baptist Church, right where we sit. With everybody that's here, with those that have been here before us, Mr. Jerry is our longest member here. You can, if you want to see how long it's been, you can go to that little where the pictures are. And Mr. Jerry's hair and his beard were black, so it's been a while, but. And Mr. Jerry knows more of the history. So do some other people. There's been a lot of people that are sitting here right now that have been here for a while. But you go back to Miss Mary Jean that have been here for a long while. And we lost her a few years ago. But what I want you to think about is at some point in 1899, some sort of committee or vote had to be held to come up with a name for our church. I don't think they just flipped a coin. Like, my great-grandmother's name was Pauline. That wasn't it. It was, our name comes from the Apostle Paul. That's where we come from. Our namesake is heavy, and it should be taken in such a manner. Pauline Christians came to be a common term in the Bible, and that was people that came to know Christ under the teachings of Paul or in a church that Paul planted on his missionary journeys. Paul went on three different missionary journeys, planting churches all through the Middle East. And those people that learned under him became known as Pauline Christians. Now, if you go into Pauline Christian, if you like Google it or anything else, like there's all kinds of these like conspiracy theory people that like try to denounce what Paul did. So don't dig too deep in that because it's just a rabbit trail and it just goes nowhere. So let's look at Paul. Let's look at Paul and what he, a little bit of what he did. Paul's like my guy in the Bible. He was, if anybody has a past or thinks they have a past that they can't get over, like Paul's that guy you need to look to say, if God can use Paul, God can use me to do anything. So let's look at where he started. He was born in Tarsus, named Saul. And a lot of y'all are going to know where I'm going right now, but trust me, there's a point. It's going to all come back together in a minute. He was born to Jewish parents, and he was born a Roman citizen. That alone allows him later in life to speak and relate to anybody that he came in touch with, for the most part. His father was a Pharisee, and Paul himself studied under Gamaliel, which was basically Paul had a Yale University background and education. Paul was smart. There was nobody that was going to outsmart Paul in what he knew. Paul's primary vocation, he was a tent maker. He was a tent maker. But at some point, he became a terrorist. He was an educated, angry terrorist that persecuted Christians. The Sanhedrin, which is like a governing body over the Jewish people, that the Romans basically gave them a governing body to say, hey, y'all govern over your own people, but we're still going to have our thumb down on you. They gave Paul basically warrants to pursue the disciples and chase them down and hunt them, and he had every intent to kill them. Paul was actually there when Stephen got stoned. He actually approved it. He was the one that said, have at it. And that speaks volumes. He was there at a disciple's stoning. On the way to hunt down the disciples, everybody knows the story. God came to Paul and blinded him. And asked him, basically point blank asked him, like, why are you persecuting me? Why are you persecuting my people? Instantly, pretty much, Saul became Paul, and almost instantly started preaching and teaching and spreading God's word to everybody he could. And we went over it in Sunday school. We're reading through Acts, and we went over just what I'm talking about right now. The Christians were terrified of him. They didn't want to listen to him. And God went to certain ones that were supposed to house him. And I'm taking too long, but I'm gonna speed this up. And they were like, I don't want him in my house. Like, yesterday he was killing folks. Like, no. But they did. They listened to God, and they did what he asked of them, and aided Paul, and Paul began his journey. You know, other than Jesus himself, I think it's, Paul's arguably probably the most influential Christian that we know about in the Bible. If he's not, he's up there. He became the ultimate example of a missionary, a church planter, a preacher, an author, and a disciple of Christ. Almost overnight, his life flipped around that quick. Eventually, Paul is persecuted himself for the very same things that he was persecuting Christians for. I won't go into the list I did in a Sunday night that I preached in. I went into the whole list, but it goes from he's been flogged, he's been beaten, he was stoned, shipwrecked, imprisoned multiple times. And then finally, on his last imprisonment, he was beheaded. And he died for what he believed in. He died for his faith in Jesus. So that's where we get our name from. We get our name from an absolute warrior of Christ that was willing to die for what he believed in. And he did. He did, and multiple other people did before and after him. Paul is responsible for the majority of the New Testament. Paul eventually organized a whole group of basically missionaries that worked under him that he sent out to plant other churches. And if you look at those journeys, I mean, it's unreal what they were able to accomplish. So I want to take a couple verses out of a couple of his writings to look at his directions for us as bodies, church bodies, and what God's plan is for us as a church. And I want to see how it relates to what we're doing here and encourage us to continue what we're doing here. And a little bit to, you know, maybe things that we can work on. But we're not going to get into that. So my first set of verses is Titus 2:1-5. I'll give you a little background while you're turning there. Here Paul is writing to Titus, who is leading the church of Crete at the time. Titus has sent him some letters or sent him word of some things that were going on in the church. That he wasn't real happy with. You know, things against God's will. They just didn't have any business being in the church. So Paul writes back to him and lists some qualities that the people of the church should have so that he can encourage the members of that church to grow and perform, you know, the day-to-day task of the church to grow. So it says, "But as for you, teach what accords with sound doctrine. Older men are to be sober-minded, dignified, self-controlled, sound in faith, in love, and in steadfastness. Older women, likewise, are to be reverent in behavior, not slanderers or slaves to much wine. They are to teach what is good, and so train the young women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled, pure, working at home, kind, and submissive to their own husbands, that the word of God may be reviled." Without sound, godly leaders in a church, we don't have a church. We just got a building. We just got a building you can come to. If we don't have leaders that are willing to mentor, teach and grow other people, there's no reason to come. And they have to be people that God has called and that are living in a way that they are able to teach. They have to be good, healthy, godly teachers. And we have that here. And we don't just have one or two. I see a lot. I see a lot. There's a saying that goes, you know, 10% of the people always do 100% of the work. I don't see that here. I see people jumping in to help with a lot of different things. And I'm proud of that. I've been in a lot of churches, and that was the case for the majority. That's the case in business. It's the case where most of us work. 10% of the people do most of the work, and everybody else just kind of rides. I don't see that here. And that's a good thing. I see when we have a dinner, a lunch here at church, I see everybody's bringing food. I see multiple people getting up out of their seats before the sermon's done to go back there and prep everything and get ready. I see VBS, you know, Heath and Emily lead it. There's so many people that step up and help because they can't do it by themselves. Fall festival, you know, it's those voids are filled pretty quick so that we can offer that. We should be proud of that. Not every church has that, guys. Not everyone does. Second set of verses, Galatians 5:22-25. Now in Galatians, Paul is writing to the church after he learns of false teachers teaching inside the church. And these teachers were claiming that salvation was obtained by works of men, not the work of the Holy Spirit. And everybody's going to, for the most part, know this verse, these verses. It says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. I firmly believe when people walk in these doors for the first time, I think they see two of these right away. I think some of them take a little longer to be obtained and to see. But I think when people walk in these doors, I feel confident they see genuine kindness and joy. If you want, I'm going to call some people out this morning. And I didn't ask your permission, but I'm sorry. It's all positive stuff, so I love you. To me, you want the definition of Christian-based pure joy? It's Angela Chastain. If you don't believe it, come watch a softball game. It is very clear. Y'all see it up here for like just a few minutes. Come watch it for an hour on the softball fields, and it is something to behold. It is special. To those of us who have been here for a while, we get to experience other ones that grow with relationships, and those are love, peace, patience, faithfulness, and self-control. And I thought about self-control a little longer than I did the rest of them. And I'm like, self-control? Like, as long as some of us have been here, it takes some self-control not to say what we want to say sometimes, because no matter how much we love each other, sometimes we don't agree. But that's okay, because when we say church family, I think that's what we are. And we don't always agree with our family. Correct. Correct. I don't always agree with my family. I love my brother. But I've toted a lot of butt whoopings because we didn't agree. Love, though. If we can wrap up this book in one word, it'd be love. And we love here. We do. We don't always do the best, but in general, we love here. You know, we might have bad days, but when everybody leaves here at the end of the day, everybody knows that we love one another. And we can't be perfect because we're made up of imperfect people. There's no such thing as a perfect church. We're going to have lumps. We're going to have bruises. But at the end of the day, like I just said, as long as we love and we come back to one another, we do all right. Church kind of be boring if it was perfect. I think it'd be a little boring. I think we need to stay on our toes. All right. So what I want to do now, real quick, man, I got to hurry. I want to look at some things that I see going on that I want to brag on. I'm not bragging on us as individuals or as groups. I'm bragging on what God's doing here, because He's doing a lot. And I think we're here so often that we're blind to it sometimes. It's like looking in the mirror every day. You don't realize like how ugly you might get, for me. Because I look at myself every day. But let me go through some stuff I see. As I said, we have a membership made up of good, sound leaders, not just men, and men, women, and our children. We have leaders already. Just last Sunday, we ordained three new leaders that we saw as a church that were ready for it. And to be honest, there's probably five more right behind those three that could have at the same time. It's not just those three. Our church is full of them. We have more children and babies than I personally have ever seen in this church. It may sound simple. That's a direct reflection of parents making church a priority. And our kids, if you watch them, they love coming here. I don't have to beg my kids to come to church. They looked forward, especially, to Wednesday night. because Lord knows what he's going to have my son doing. I mean, burning fires. I mean, there's just no telling. But they love it. Amy does a good job with the girls. We have a youth group that 3 years ago, we were averaging 6 to 8 kids. We're about to knock a wall down to make more room because we're averaging 15 to 20. And I assure you, it ain't because of me, because I ain't that cool. And most of them are up here singing now. I wouldn't have said that a year ago. They make it easier for me to stand up here to watch them. Our attendance on Wednesday night. It's pretty cool to walk out on Wednesday night and see all the cars in the parking lot. I just get to see one room with the kids. There's more people here on Wednesday night than I've ever seen here. I've been here 10 years. I've never seen as many people. Like I said, I'm not bragging on people as individuals. I'm bragging on God. Some more I see. We're going to talk about mission work in these. A lot of times we talk about missions and we think we got to get on a plane and go somewhere or drive somewhere. No, sir. We do missions right where we are. Work, school, home. And that's what we're missing right where we live, are those things. It's all well and good to go wherever. Fly, drive, get on a boat. I don't care. That's great. If you have the capability of doing that, go do it. We can drive to Quitman, though. We can drive to Quitman and do a lot. We can share with our children, and we can do a lot. I see Miss Mary Ann. Revelation Wellness, Options Now. It's all mission work. Revelation Wellness, right here in this church, to other women. She's still called to do it, and she does it. Options Now. That's helping babies. I don't need to say anything else. And women alike. Compassion House. We feed the same families for the most part. I was able to come when it was on Saturdays. But now it's on Wednesdays because we're already here. We made a choice to change it. But it's the same families that come over and over. We get to feed them. We get to give them food. We get to feed them spiritually. That's Trish. That's Anita. That's Glenn. Elaine. Charlotte. All those people make a choice to get here an hour and a half earlier and be on mission with those families that come in here. And y'all, those families are special. It's a blessing to see them once a month. And they're good, godly people, as far as I can see. I don't think anybody else can argue with me. Christy Brown. Man, only the youth know, and those that have been to Parkwood in the past. You ought to see the effort Christy Brown puts into buying gifts for the kids at Parkwood. We go around holidays, Christmas, all the holidays. Christy goes out, as far as I know, with her own money. She gets some donations sometimes, and she buys them gifts. She bought them blankets for Christmas and some other little things. And then we always bring a craft, and we sit down for an hour, and we spend with these special needs kids that have to live at this facility because they can't be cared for at home. Some of them don't even have families that come and see them. Some of them do, but some of them don't. Christy's been doing that for as long as I've been going, but I think well before that too. That's mission work. She should be applauded for her personal choice to go do that and do God's work. And she does a great job. And if you want to see it, if you want to see God, go check out the smiles on the baby's faces. It's pretty special. It's pretty special. Erlene, Glenn's girls, Larry and Lavinia, they've been going to LAMP for a while, feeding homeless people. That's mission work. Good job. Glenn, again, with the men ministry, is doing a good job. Y'all, we average 20 to 30 men one Tuesday a month. That's mission work. We didn't used to have that. That hasn't been something that's been going on for a long time. It's been like the last year that's took off. As good as Glenn's doing, Kelly's showing him up with WMU. It's not Glenn's fault. He's a guy. And Kelly is extremely creative. So good job. Y'all, Kelly came in. They joined the church. Kelly just said, "What you need me to do?" And just ran with it. And is doing a good job. Keep doing it. Angela, again. Sorry, picking on you. Angela raised enough money to go halfway around the world to use her God-given talent of singing to sing to people in, where'd you go, Israel? Yes, thank you. I didn't put that in here because I didn't know. That's mission. That's mission. And I missed the PowerPoint, but from what I heard, it was awesome. Good job. We have five men here that actively mentor football players in Quitman. Heath, Ashley, Glenn, Dallas, and myself. That's mission work. That's what Quitman needs. And it's easy to ride through Quitman and not see it. Pull in the circle, if you know what the circle is. There's a lot of gunshots. There's a lot of little bitty kids. I don't mean 7 and 8. I mean like 2, 3, 4, running around with no shoes on, no clothes on, no parents. Their sibling that's 3 years older is watching them. Go down there. It's there, I promise. Not bragging on myself, I see it every week. And it ain't me. I don't go in there because I want to. I do. I made a choice to. But God wants me to. A little bit of a spinoff from that. Kelly started a mentorship program here. Because God put it on her heart to. With the younger girls here. There's older women here. Just like the verse in Titus said. Train up these younger women. Men, train up these younger guys. And they're mentoring these girls. Every single young lady in this church that comes on a regular basis has an older woman here that's mentoring them. That's what we need. And that's what we're doing. It's important. So women that are doing that, thank you. I don't know. I have a list, but I can't remember. But thank you. Heath and Emily, I already said it, VBS. They have a heart to minister to our kids. What more important job to have? And without saying too much, there's more coming. I don't know all the details. They're excited about it. And that's what we need. Because if we don't have kids, and we don't have people to teach our kids, we have no church. So thank you. Lastly, but definitely not the least important of those, we have, for such a small church, we have a lot of business owners and a lot of professionals in this building right now that go to work every day and they choose to take God with them. I hear stories. I hear of these people going to work and taking Jesus with them. Good job. Good job. And it doesn't mean you have to be a business owner to do that. Just take it wherever you go. Take it wherever you go. I've heard Ashley multiple times talk about conversations he's had. And I'm not talking about with his equivalents. I'm talking about some guy that he gave a ride home to because he didn't have a ride. So a laborer, pretty much, is what I gathered out of that he gave a ride to, and he started talking to him about Jesus. take your opportunities. And I think we do that. Good job. Make two points to close real quick, and I'm done. I say all this to brag on what God's doing. And we're doing a good job. This is the epitome of what a church family is, sitting right here. There's people that aren't here. We do a very good job of just that. We are not perfect. I've said it already. But as good as we are, there's more to be done. There's other people to reach. There's other things that we can be doing. There's always one more. There's always one more person. So what we've been doing, great job. Great job, because I think God smiles when he sees what we're doing. Let's do more. Let's do more, because there's no ceiling on what we can do when we have God behind us. There's absolutely not. If you think there is, you might want to rethink that. There's so much more we can be doing. So great job. But let's keep going. Last thing. I asked the youth group Wednesday night to write down what our church means to them in just a few words or a quick sentence. You never know what you're going to get. Like, sometimes you ask them to do something and it's a little scary. Like, I hold my breath. Three of the 10 responses that I got back said home. And that's what it is. That's what our church is to these kids. And that's because we have fostered an environment here that makes them think that. That makes them feel like they're coming to a second home. Honestly, maybe more like a home than their own home at times. They feel safe. They feel loved. And it's because of what we do here. It's because of what we give them by doing what God's asked us to do. One stuck out. And I'm not quite sure how she... Hold on. This is what I asked them to write on. There are like three sentences on this thing. She flipped it over and wrote on it. I'm not going to call this person out. I promise. Until afterwards. Said, as a member of Pauline Baptist Church, this church represents God. The people in this church each have a special relationship with Him. I'm proud and thankful to be surrounded by the people at this church. That's a 14-year-old kid. I didn't read this until... I got it Wednesday. I didn't read through them until Thursday. I was like, dang. That's pretty good. We got three that said, this is home. And one that wrote that. All this being said, we have so many other people that I didn't even mention that do a bunch of hard work here. The Nunnalys. Watch Dawana and Trish get ready for VBS doing artwork. David helps, I know, because he's told to. But David volunteers to help with everything. Cook, you know, anything. Gary, probably the most selfless person I know. One of them. And faithful. Amy, with the girls. I could go on. And I could call every single person in here out about something. We'd be here all day. And you want me to shut up? To all this, I say good job. And keep going. There's more to do. A lot more to do. I'm going to close this in prayer. And then Gary will come up, lead us in an invitation song. Dear Lord, I thank you again for allowing us to come here. Lord, I pray that your words were spoken and not mine. I thank you for Pauline Baptist Church and what it stands for, all the work that is done here for you, all the people in this church that decide to come here. I thank you for the family that we are. I just thank you for loving us even though that we're sinners. Lord, I pray that if anybody needs to make a decision today to come to you, that they will. Pray that if anybody needs to talk, to share anything, I pray that they will as well. I just ask that you be with us through our week. Keep us mindful of you. Pray that we would continue to do your work within this church, but most of all, take your work outside of this church and be the people that you want us to be to those around us on a daily basis and at home with our kids, with our spouses, with our family members. Lord, we love you and we thank you. Amen.